You are listening to Sounds Good, a podcast brought to you by Choirmate.
You are listening to Sounds Good, a podcast from Choirmate. My name is Devekke Kuløy, and right now I'm here in London with Philip Reed. Hi, Philip.
Hey, Devekke. How are you?
I am good. How are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah? So thank you so much for joining us. Who is Philip Reed?
I am a choir leader and singer based in Oxford in the UK.
And what is special about you, Philip, is that you are a great campaigner for men's choirs.
Yeah.
You've started a few projects that we'll touch on, but I can mention off the top of my head, Singing in the Shed, the best sing since Sliced Bread, is a very good name for a choir, the Man Choir, and you're also a bass in the Spooky Men's Chorale.
That's it.
And we'll get back to all of this. But first of all, when you started Singing in the Shed, what was that about?
Singing in the Shed, I guess, is built on top of my work with Man Choir and my work with community men singing in particular. It's a weekend-long festival of inclusive male singing. And I think probably one of the things that's best about that is having, you know, we usually have something like 120 male singers, and that's a fantastic instrument. It's a fantastic sound. Everybody loves that sound. All the participants love that sound. It's a beautiful weekend-long event in the heart of the Industrial Revolution.
What's the heart of the Industrial Revolution?
Well, it's where the Industrial Revolution started, because the smelting process of iron was originally developed there, and that actually was the seed of the Industrial Revolution that changed the world. And in fact, the weekend takes place in some of the workshops and the buildings where the early steps of that process began.
And this is an all male singers event.
It is an all male singers event, yes.
So I'm seeing a kind of a red thread here, right? With the all male singers event, 120 male singers, the Man Choir and the Spooky Men's Chorale. You are very enthusiastic about male choirs, Philip. Why is that?
Well, I mean, I guess the first thing I would say is it's not all that I do. I do have a really big mixed choir as well. But I guess
we'll get back to.
Cool. But I guess my focus and my interest on men's choir, it starts with my time with the Spooky Men's Chorale, which I've been in for about a dozen or so years now. And that was the first time I had done any male-only singing. What that showed me was the value, the special quality of using your voice with men. It seems like we live in a time and in a culture in our part of the world where men singing is frowned upon. You know, certainly in the United Kingdom, where I am from.
Why? What do you mean frowned upon?
I think it's seen. I'm pretty confident it's seen in a lot of the population as not masculine.
Sing in a choir?
Yeah, definitely. For men, well, no, for men to sing at all, right? That's certainly how it is in this country, I would say. And I think how it is in quite a lot of the West. It's just not a, you know, what might guys do? They might play football, you know, they might fix their cars, they might go to the pub with their mates. That's certainly what they do in this country. Sing? No way, you know, it's antithetical to being a British man. And that's crazy. That's basically crazy, because the voice is absolutely fundamental to your identity and to your life. And people have been using their voice since time immemorial, since the beginning, and have been singing using their voice for millennia. And so it's weird that we've ended up in that place. But what I found in my experience singing with guys is that there's something really special about it. I think there's two parts. One, like I said, with the big weekend singing event, is the instrument, right? So actually, it's just a lovely sound. From the perspective of a musician, it's a beautiful instrument. It has a different quality, and it's lovely to work with that. But then also there's the relationship part of it. And I think it's also the case that certainly in my country, and I think in a lot of the West, that it's a generalization, but Men are less good at communicating. They tend to have less close friends. They tend to be worse when it comes to talking about their feelings. The subject of men's mental health is a really big deal nowadays in lots of countries in the West. And you know, a big part of that is that men bottle these things up and can't talk. And actually, it seems like just singing is a bit of a door to open up and start to address some of those issues, some of those problems. So in my community men's choir, man choir, which I started 10 years ago, like on the surface, it's about some guys coming together and singing. You don't have to dig much further at all to realize what it's actually about is companionship, friendship, creating social groups, creating connections between people, giving guys a forum in which they can perhaps interact differently with others and think about themselves. That doesn't mean that like every week we turn up and sit in the dark and hold hands.
No.
I mean, no. Well, at least not every week. You know, once every 2 or 3 weeks, it's mostly holding hands in the dark. No, but actually we just turn up and sing.
Yeah.
But it's those things that happen in the tea break, those things that happen afterwards, those things that happen at the weekend. And I mean, it's not about me. It's not like I discovered this or I have some profound gift in facilitating this. It's more that it turns out if you get some guys to come together to use their voices, and you know anybody can do this, it creates a thing, a good thing.
We see this again and again, and we've talked about choir and health on this podcast before. And we see that when using an instrument that is so deeply connected to your physical form. You know, it's not a trumpet, it's not a violin. You're using your very own body to produce sound.
You're using you. Yeah.
Something strange happens in all choirs, right? Yeah. That people open up. You see this, both you and I are choir leaders and have sung in choirs for years.
Yeah.
And we see this again and again, that people come in and open up their soul. They don't even have to say anything about what's going on in their lives. Yeah. But, you know, in choir rehearsals, especially in female choirs or mixed choirs, there is an element of crying sometimes, or people people come in with whatever they are struggling with at the moment and talk to the choir leader or their singing mates. And so I think you have a really good point that women often have big social groups where they do all this anyway, but men don't, maybe.
No, that's right. And I think just picking up on what you said a moment ago, that thing about the way that the voice is deeply connected to the body and the brain. I think if someone is listening to this and they're completely outside the process, they're not in a choir, they don't sing, something like that, it might be, you know, you might think that if you go along to a choir rehearsal, it's like some kind of psychoanalysis, or you know, you have to talk about these things, or it's some sort of process, or it's intrusive. The curious thing is that I don't think any of us really quite understand why. Nothing happens except you turn up and sing with some other people. But there's something about that process, because of the way that the voice is so deeply embedded in you, in your existence, in your being, that it just immediately opens that door. It's like whether or not you want it to, all you do is turn up and sing, and suddenly you are in a really different space that you're not in the rest of your life, which is really valuable.
I love how you're facilitating that for men here in the UK, and I love your view on, you know, masculinity. And I saw on the man choir website that it said something like, the man choir encompasses the image of the modern man, which means there's, I'm paraphrasing.
Does
here,
Does it
Philip.
Say that? I'm going to have to go check.
But it was something like that. But it's also about, you know, it's a space for all men. You don't have to be a fantastic singer with lots of experience. It's just I'm struggling a little bit to use this word. You know what's coming. It's a safe space for being masculine in a healthier way than just getting drunk down the pub.
Oof, I mean, maybe? There's a lot of big statements in there.
Sorry.
A lot of big statements. Let's park the safe space one, because that's like a whole other subject.
Yeah, sorry. Should not have used that expression.
No, that's okay. That's okay. That's a different. That's definitely a different podcast. I mean, Again, I think if someone was listening to this who does not sing in a choir and is not a singer, it's kind of easy to take away the impression from this that it is some sort of intimidatingly odd new age type process, and it isn't. You just turn up and learn some music and sing it. That is 99% of it. Mm. It's just that kind of through that process, through the back door, these extra things start to happen, which is so lovely. Encompassing the idea of a modern man, I don't know about that. And also, I mean, I started saying, oh, blokes play football, go to the pub, tinker with their cars. I mean, of course, there's loads of guys out there. You know, that's a huge generalisation, but nonetheless. You know, I'm absolutely convinced that it is the case. I know it is the case that there are a predominance of men who do find it harder to make connections, especially as they get older. They just have less friends, right? They just have less friends and are perhaps less well set up for dealing with the challenges they face. And it's no more complicated than, it turns out, getting together with some other guys and using your voice is a surprisingly good forum for tackling some of those things. And so easy, right? And like, anybody can do it. Really, anybody can do it. It's, you're right when you say that my choirs are, my community choirs are for everyone, and that's fundamental. No previous experience is required whatsoever.
And I love the name as well, Singing in the Shed, because that's, a bit of a stereotype as well. Like, the men go out into the shed and they tinker with their things in solitude. Yeah. So now there's lots of men in the shed and they're all singing together.
Yeah, that's right.
Getting back to choirs are for everyone, right? Because you have also started a community choir called The Best Sing since Sliced Bread. A very funny name. I love that. This is a choir for anyone and everyone. There's no previous experience required, no auditions, no nothing.
Yeah.
How did you go about setting up, for anyone who's listening, right, and thinking, I would like to start a community choir in my community, but I have no idea if there's, talented singers here. How would I go about choosing who joins, and how would I go about setting this up? How would you go about setting this up, Philip?
Okay, well... to answer that question, I need to tell you a little bit first about an organisation called the Natural Voice Network.
Yes, please.
We're really lucky in the UK to have this thing, the NVN. I had nothing whatsoever to do with its founding. I'm just one of the many people who was fortunate enough to get involved with it along the way. It's been running for decades here now. And it was an organisation that was set up by some very visionary people in this country who believed that singing is a birthright, and it is the kind of powerful tool that we're talking about, and that it should be made accessible to everybody, and that it has kind of historically been gatekept. You know, if you are one of that tiny number of people who was fortunate enough to learn how to read choral music at school at a young age, then you could do this, but otherwise it wasn't for anybody else. The organization was set up to celebrate singing as a birthright and bring it to as many people as possible.
And there's also a lot of people who go through school and are told in a school choir or by a music teacher, you can't sing, sit in the back and shut your mouth.
Yes,
and
do you know who that includes?
You.
Me.
No.
Yes way. Yes,
which
totally.
Is not true.
I make my career as a choir leader and singer now. So, but no, I was totally... in the school choir and told that I couldn't sing in the choir.
I've had so many singers come up to me and say, I would love to join your choir, but I've been told I can't sing. And then and then you listen to them and there's nothing wrong with their voice.
No, of course not. Not at all. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely not at all. I also run a staff choir for our really big local hospital, NHS hospital. Mm. And I did a big tour of the hospital recently, you know, trying to tell prospective singers about this. Honestly, like 95% of people said, oh, I can't sing. You don't want me. I can't sing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not true. It's simply not true. And these sorts of, you know, really damaging childhood experiences create just another problem for us to try to tackle. But anyway, going back to the Natural Voice Network, who, you know, set up fundamentally to try and tackle those things. My first exposure to that group came when I met my then partner, now wife, Natasha, in London nearly 20 years ago. And at the time, I had been I'd had a very different career path. I was doing something completely different. I was working in a creative industry, in a kind of design industry, design and technology, but nothing to do with music. I was a kind of bedroom... A crappy EDM composer, I'd sort of fiddled with music as a hobby for most of my life, but my professional career had been somewhere completely different. And so I met my then partner, and just a few months after I'd met her, she said to me, "Oh, I'm going to go to this singing thing. You should come." And I was like, you know, yeah, whatever. No, I don't really think that's for me.
I do EDM. Thanks very much.
Okay. Well, that's another podcast.
No, I mean, that was your answer to her when she invited you to the singing thing.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I was being you. Yeah, oh, okay. it's hard to tell the difference sometimes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, and actually, you know, I did some musical stuff, and it's just not something I had ever thought about. I hadn't done it since I was at school, and I was told that I couldn't sing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a true fact. It's completely true. And so... nonetheless, she persuaded me / I decided to go to this thing, and it was an epiphany. It was an awakening. I guess I don't want to oversell it. It wasn't like, you know, I was going and looking at the heavens, but I went along and I went to a session that was facilitated by an NVN practitioner. Not that I knew that or anything about that at the time, but so the way that it works is everybody is welcome. You go along. Everything is taught by ear. I can just completely by ear.
No sheet music at all.
Not only no sheet music, but no specialist terminology, nothing happens apart from you are warmly welcomed with tea and biscuits, and then someone goes, "Okay, you ready? Da, da, da," sing that, and you go,
right.
That's it. Yeah. Everything's taught by ear. And that was it turns out you can do that, and within 15 minutes you've got a lovely four-part song going with some lovely harmonies, and you're enjoying yourself and using your voice. So that was, you know, I'd never done anything like that before, and I really liked it. And, you know, we were just about to have kids, and we were between jobs, but I resolved then to join a community choir myself, or to join a choir run by this organisation, NVN. So I did. And really, as far as singing goes, everything started from there for me. Now, your question was, how does one go about doing it? Well, this story begins with that session, and then going on to join an NVN practitioner's choir, where I just saw more and more of this process, which is about anybody can come in the door, the leader... who's had a bit of experience and knowledge of these things and has various tools to use, nonetheless, just sings some parts, encourages someone to repeat them, has some good tools to make that learning work and to make it go in, brings the voices together. You're making music in a room very quickly with a bunch of strangers in this lovely environment. And that's how you do it. And as a member of those choirs initially, after a few happy years had passed or something like that, I started to think, you know, I really like this. And this thing that the facilitator is doing, I'm really interested in that. Because there are some skills, you know, there's definitely skills to facilitating that, to making it go well, to making people feel supported, to, you know, making the music happen well. Mm-hmm. And so I had a go. And went from there. Here we are, you know, 15 years later, running two choirs, because my men's choir is open access as well. So running two choirs, essentially based on those principles. How you do it is, I mean, it has to be something that you want to do. It has to be something that you seek to do as a choir leader, right? I mean, it's quite fundamental. Either you are running a group where everyone is welcome, or you are not. There aren't really... There's a bunch of issues that no doubt would be nice to talk about.
I have questions.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I mean, there are challenges. But like, if you're going to start a group, it's like fundamentally everyone is welcome or not everybody is welcome. And then you go from there. Questions?
Yes. thank you for a lovely explanation. And I think, like you say, everyone is welcome to join, but not anyone can start a group like that because you have to have some fundamental basic skills, people skills. And some choir leader skills as well.
Yeah.
But my question is, when something is open for everyone, we've just talked about this now, how childhood trauma of being told you can't sing can affect your whole life. But there are a very few select people in this world who has no inner hearing and who can't find the notes. No matter how patient the choir leader, who loves singing, but might, you know, never... hit the right note at the right time.
Yeah.
How do you, as a choir leader, deal with those select few?
So we're going there already.
We
right?
are.
We're going straight in.
Yes.
That's tough. That is really tough, and it's something I think about often. And it's this strange thing where, you know, we can talk so much about the values of inclusivity and all the great stuff that it does in our world of, you know, amateur music from The Voice with these choirs, and yet there is this thing, there is this one massive challenge, and it is that.
Yes.
How do I deal with it? Well, I would have to say, first of all, I think it's we shouldn't get too bogged down in that. It does happen. It doesn't happen that often.
And it doesn't happen that often.
I think it's a real... I try to avoid talking about it unless I kind of absolutely have to. It's fine to talk about it here because it's yet another thing that puts people off. I have found, for example, when trying to talk to people about my open access choirs, in the past I've sort of said things like, oh, look, everybody is welcome, anybody can do it. You know, there's a tiny number of people who can't. Now, the second you do that, right, the second you do that, people are like, oh, I'm that person. No, I honestly can't sing. So I would never dream of mentioning it to a prospective singer because they will just connect with it. And it doesn't actually happen that often. And in my experience of such people, at least some of the time, they can go on to improve quite a lot. Mm-hmm. Then, yes, there is still a tiny number of people for whom it's not an issue. Now, I have to say, even that group, you can kind of further subdivide, in my opinion, into people who seem to permanently be unable to match pitch at all, but do it really quietly. Mm-hmm. Who you can, as a choir leader perspective, you can probably still kind of accommodate. But those people who are permanently long term unable to match pitch or improve and do it quite loudly, it breaks my heart, and I wish I knew of a better solution. But you probably can't accommodate them in an open access choir, which is then a nightmare, right? Because like I just said 5 minutes ago, either it's open access or it's not.
Yes.
But I mean, you know, somebody out there tell me, what is the solution to this? It seems insoluble and I hate it, and it's a weird reality and it's out there. But I tell you what, if you are a singer listening to this, I mean, we're talking about really a vanishingly small number of people. Never let it put you off. It is not you. It is not you telling yourself, oh, singing isn't for me, choirs aren't for me, I can't sing, I'm that person, I can't do it. We're talking about a tiny number of people who have some actually fascinating, though dreadful, physiological, brain-based issue that means they just can't match pitch.
It's very, very rare.
Yeah, well, like I say, I have definitely seen firsthand a whole number of people turn up who seem completely unable to match pitch, but if you're just patient with them and you give them a bit of time, they go on to improve a lot. Maybe it's not perfect, but and I've had all sorts of discussions with people about how maybe some people are just not exposed as children to that process of hearing a pitch and matching it with their voice.
Yeah.
For whatever reason in their childhood, they just didn't do it. They didn't live in a house with music. They never tried to sing. They didn't never try to do any musical activity at school, and it was just missing from their brain's physiology. And so, like learning any new skill as an adult, when you try and do that, it takes a while. It comes slowly, but you do get there. It is a really small number of people who have this other amusia thing.
But that's a kind of the same as, you know, there's a very few select people with absolute perfect pitch.
Yeah.
And those are very rare too. And it's the same thing with the amusia, that it's very, very rare. So
if
you're out there listening now, because we had to go there, Philip, because people will say,
tricky one.
Really, everyone, even me? And the answer to that is yes, even you. Even you who are listening, who thinks, but I really can't sing. Listen to Philip Reed, because if you just turn up, you will improve, and these skills can be activated.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And remember, I was told I couldn't sing and I had to leave the choir.
And now you're a choir leader.
As a choir leader. I mean, so, you know, there's a lot of just horrendous advice out there.
If you're a music teacher listening to this, never tell a child in school they can't
sing.
Never say to anyone.
I think, as I understand it, that happens far, far less now. I think music teachers have started to get a grip on the importance of that.
This was the 80s. Things were different back then.
Yeah. How very dare you. I didn't go to school in the 80s. It was the late 1990s.
Yes, same here. Yes. well, Philip, to sum up today, if you're a man, Join a men's choir. It's good for your mental and physical health. And if you're out there listening and you think, I can never join a choir because I am definitely one of the select few that can't sing, join an open community choir. And if you as a choir leader want to start a community choir, all you need is some basic people skills. That's actually more important than you think.
It is.
In the choir leading business.
Yeah, yeah.
And some basic conducting skills or music skills, and just do it. Isn't that the message from you, Philip?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to stand up in front of adults. You have to fake it till you make it if you haven't done it before. In my personal opinion, the thing you have to be able to do, like on top of all the others, if you're going to try an open access, taught by ear, no sheet music type thing, you have to be able to fairly reliably sing the parts yourself, right? That's the only thing you have to be able to do. Not perfectly, but like, you know, you have to be able to sing a part, sing a bit of a part, and then sing it back again, like in more or less the same key, like without any significant changes from what you did before. Yeah. Once you can learn that at home, or you can learn that by joining a choir yourself. Once you got that, you're away. It's not hard.
If anyone wants to join Singing in the Shed or The Best Thing Since Sliced Bread, we will put the contact information in our show notes so you can get in touch with Philip and experience that you too can sing. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Philip.
Yeah, no worries. My pleasure.
You have heard Sounds Good, a podcast brought to you by Choirmate.